The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you so much. Appreciate that. And hey, pray for our tour group. They'll be heading out to Indiana on Wednesday to the Faith Music Missions to record their CD for this coming summer's tour group. And so if you'll pray for them, they'll be back on Saturday, and so they'll be gone a couple of days, and pray for them as they do travel, if you will. Then take your Bible and go back. Let's look at that statement again that David said in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 29, where David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And I want to speak tonight just on the subject matter or of living for a cause, living for a cause. You know, when I was coming up as just a young person, I was pretty heavily involved in sports, and I just gave myself to sports a lot in the public school, and I ran track and field, did a little boxing and some other stuff, and I gave myself to those causes. I remember different ones that would give themselves to a cause. I had a friend of mine that started an eggplant. I mean, a regular eggplant where they take the eggs and they put them in cartons and they ship them out and stuff like that. And it is going pretty good for him, house of fire. And he said, "Hey, you want to come over and work for a little while? If you have extra time, you can come in whenever you want and just show you what you could do." And so I did that a little bit because it's very close to the high school. But when I got there, I gave it everything I had for the time that I was there. Why? Because I had a cause. I worked also at a restaurant when I was coming up, and also worked on a milk farm. So early in the morning, before I ever arrived at high school, I stopped by the milk farm. I had to be there by 5 o'clock in the morning in order to be able to start. And so I'd milk cows for about an hour, hour and a half would be about it, because I always stopped at McDonald's and got something to eat before I went into I was a boy, you know, you're always eating, but before I went into, of course, the high school. And so I had several jobs that I did. And I worked for my dad. My dad was an electrician. Now, he worked for Maryland National Bank, and he was over a squad of men. And then later on, he became the head electrician for all of the Maryland National Banks in the state of Maryland, which was a pretty heavy job. And then he got his license in Pennsylvania and started working for Pennsylvania National Banks and stuff like that. And so he was pretty heavy in the stuff like that. Had several men working under him, but when he had extra time, he would go wire somebody's house or something like that. And I remember one time we were in the basement, and he said, "We've got to run electricity through this rock." And he said, "Man, if I take time to drill the rock and try and pull it out and stuff like that," he said, "it's going to take forever." He said, "Go get that dynamite out of the truck." And we're in the bottom of somebody's house. And I said, "Dad, what are you talking about?" He said, "Well, I keep that." And so he said, "Just for purposes, for work." And I was glad to hear for work. And he said, "Go get it." And he said, "Bring it in." And he said, "I know what I'm doing, Mike. I've done this for many years." And I said, "Okay. And so I went out and I got the dot. It's a real thin little thing, you know, just like maybe, you know, a supersized fireworks. And so I went out and I got it. And he said, "Okay." He said, "I'm going to put a little hole here." And he said, "We'll just blow that portion of the rock out that's in the way." And he said, "It'll be fine. It'd be fine." I said, "What if it like kind of blows up the floor that's above it? We're not going to be fine." He said, "Just trust me. Trust me. I'll put it in there. You light it. And then you get out as quick as you can." And I said, "No, wait a minute, Dad. You're the expert." He said, "But yeah, you can run faster than me." And he said, "So, you know, I'll do all the work. I'll make sure it's placed proper. And you light it." And he said, "Then you tear out of there." And I said, "Sir, if I light it, I will tear out of there." And so I did, and it blew that. He knew exactly what he was doing. It didn't blow the top lip off, just blew the bottom off, and he knew what he was doing, and we're able to run that wire right underneath there. And I guess it saved a lot of time, sure saved a lot of digging and stuff. But, you know, when it came time to run, can I tell you, I had a cause. I had a cause. And so I got out of there as quickly as I could. There was one time only that I did it. I didn't do it any other time. But I was working in a rodeo, and they needed somebody to get out there and get the attention of the bulls. And I only did it one time. Did not do it any other time. I have reasons I did not do it any other time. These guys are supposed to get somebody gets bucked off, you're supposed to get the attention of the bulls so they don't come over and gouge them and stuff like that. And so I did that only one time. There's reasons I only did it one time. But I remember that experience. And can I tell you, when that bull starts to come your way, your heart starts beating in a different fashion. Your blood pressure changes immediately. And your legs begin to move quite quickly. But you have a cause. You have a cause. You know? And so there's different times in our lives where we have causes that we believe in, causes that we stand for, causes that we drive forward in order to accomplish. And I want to speak on that tonight, on living for a cause. Let's notice in our Bibles tonight as we walk along together, everyone has a cause. Now watch this, if you will, please. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 23, the Bible says, and he talked with them. Behold, it says, as he talked with them, behold, there came up, it says, the champion, it says, the Philistine of Gath. And it's talking about Goliath here by name. The Bible says, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. All right? Now, here's two people you're going to find out in this story that have major causes. There's that which is Goliath, and there's that which is David. Goliath had a cause. He believed in what he was doing. He wasn't ashamed of what he was doing. He was standing for his cause. He was going forward with his cause. And by the way, it's the same way today. You have the liberals that have a cause. You have the conservative who we are that have a cause. You have drug dealers that have a cause. You have doctors that are professional and that are right, that have a cause. You have people that's in business that have a cause. You have people, if you would please, that have a cause for that which is the right, and you have people that have a cause for that which is the wrong. But can I submit to you tonight, everybody has a cause. Parents that want to rear godly children have a cause. Those that want to have godly friendships, they have a cause. Those that want to be soul winners have a cause. Those that want to be good Bible students have a cause. Those that want to be able to take their businesses to greater heights than what they presently are have a cause. Everybody, if you evaluate your life, you too will have a cause in your life. Statement number two, don't let the giants distract you from your cause. Don't let the giants distract you from your cause. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man. Now, who was the man? The man was Goliath. You ever hear somebody say, you are the man? Now, what are they doing? They're saying that you're important. You're doing something that nobody else is doing. You've got the attention. You're in the square. All right, now here's a person that has everybody's attention. And the Bible says, and when they saw the man, the Bible says, they fled from him and were sore afraid. Now, can I tell you this? Don't let your giants distract you from your cause. You may have giants in your life. It might be the giant of failing health. You may have a giant in your life. It might be the giant of failing finances. You may have a giant in your life, and it might be the failing in maybe some other personal area in your life. Don't let that giant stop you. We had a man in our church many years ago when I was on staff for 8 years for Dr. C.R. Williams in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And one day he started losing his hearing, and it got really bad. And he could barely hear anything that anybody was saying. And then his sight was already bad, but it just became quite worse. And he could barely see. And one of the teenagers came up to him one day, and they related the story to me. And they went up to him and said, we don't understand. You can't see. You can't hear. Why are you here? Why do you come to church if you can't see and you can't hear? And here's what he said. I want the devil to know whose side I'm on. Amen. Now, what did he have? He had a cause. He had a cause. There was a lady when I was in Bible college. There was a lady, she had been over 20 years when I entered Bible college. She was over 20 years in the bus ministry. As a teenager, she became paralyzed in a tragic accident, but she didn't let that stop her. All the years that she lived her life, the rest of her life, bound to a wheelchair, always faithful to church, but she didn't want it to stop there. Always faithful to be able to come to the altar. She'd wheel her way down to the altar and pray, but she didn't want it to stop there either. She wanted to get more involved. She didn't let that wheelchair stop her. Oh, no. She wanted to get so involved that she could reach people for Christ, and she found out that one of the best ways to get many people in church was called the bus ministry, because you can't fit many people in your car, but you could fit many more people in a bus. And so what did she do? She decided that she wanted to get in the bus ministry. Here's this dear lady, and she's in a wheelchair, and she just wanted to take and get people involved in the bus ministry. So what would she do? She would wheel her wheelchair up to the gates. She sometimes could not go through the narrow gates that were fence gates in order to get into the actual setting of a yard. And she would sit out there with that big old cowbell, and she would just ring that cowbell. Now, what would happen? Well, what do you think would happen? If you look out your window and you see a lady in a wheelchair, and she's sitting there, and she's ringing a big old cowbell, what would you do? Especially if she's ringing it and she's pointing to you and going like this. Boy, people came out of their houses just to see what's that little old woman want that's sitting in the chair ringing the cowbell. She began to invite them to church by the scores, and many people came to church because of a lady in a wheelchair that rode a bus on Sunday morning even, sending workers out to be able to get people to come and to ride the bus. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people received Christ as their Savior because here was a lady that said, I have a cause. And so because she had a cause, years later, she'd been in the bus ministry, I don't know how many years, I know 20 when I went to Bible college, and she continued to serve in the bus ministry. But they say that when she did die at her funeral service, there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that came. And when they asked, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior because this lady came by to visit you, please raise your hand. And they said that hundreds of people raised their hand because here was a lady that had a cause. I'm a little bit jealous. I have many dear friends in the ministry, and many of them are book writers. I mean, they write books. I've got one dear friend, and he puts out at least 2 books a year. He's an avid writer, does a great job. And I asked him one day, I said, when do you write your books? He said, well, I fly out every Monday and Tuesday and preach somewhere around America. And while I'm on the plane, I'm taking notes, and I'm writing the material, and I'm able to put out 2 or 3 books a year. Now, why? Because he focuses on his cause. Now, everybody has a cause. What you have to be careful about is don't let some giant, if you will, come in and disrupt your cause or get you distracted from your cause. Statement number 3, if you stare at the giant long enough, you'll forget what your cause is. We lived in New York City for quite some time, and while we were in New York City quite some time, kids would come from all over. They wanted to see the big city. And so the youth pastors would bring their junior high and their senior high youth departments into New York City, and they wanted to come and tour the city and stuff like that. And so I'd take them down to Manhattan, and I'd let them see the big towering buildings. And I never will forget, they were so overwhelmed. These kids came from farmlands and whatnot. They were so overwhelmed by the big, big, monstrous buildings that they saw, they would just kind of sit there and stare upward. To the point that we would say, okay, we're moving on. We're going to go someplace else. They'd still be sitting there staring upward. Why? Because they saw something that was so gigantic that they never saw before, and they lost the part about understanding the whole cause of being there. Now, can I tell you, you can stare at a giant so long that you can forget your cause. I know people that stare at cancer so long that they forget how to be a happy Christian. I know people that stare at a dysfunctional family so long, or maybe a heart that is having trouble, a physical heart that is having trouble, or maybe they stare at something else that's an object so long that it causes them not to do the things that they ought to do. I never forget years ago, there's a friend of mine. I used to love to ride horses when I was coming up, and I grew up on a farm. I owned my first horse by the age of four, and I only owned it for a day, but I did own my first horse at the age of four. The people that was raising me gave me a birthday present when I turned 4 years of age. Oh, I was just so happy. They gave me a horse, and it had its own carriage, and I was just so happy. And so before I would get into the carriage, I just wanted to see how fast the horse would go, just like you get on a bike and you want to see how fast it goes. And so I took a corn cob and I aimed at the rear end of the horse, and I thought, if I hit the rear end of the horse with the corn cob, we'll just get to see how fast it goes. And so I took that as a little four-year-old boy could, and with all the muscles of little bitty fingers and a little bitty hand and a gigantic target that you could not miss, I took that corn cob and I threw it as hard as I could, and that horse, we had 180 acres, that horse took off. I mean, it just took off. And can I tell you, after they found the horse, my birthday present took off. It just took off. They said, you're not old enough to have a horse. And they loaded it back up, carriage and all, and took the horse away. I never forget. Yeah, that's a sad story. I never forget years ago after that. I was about 16 or 17 years of age, and a friend of mine he owned some horses that were really nice horses. Matter of fact, his family even used to race horses. And so they had some really fast horses and stuff like that. And he said, hey, you want to get on that one? And I said, oh yeah, I like to get on that one. And so I got on that thing, and it took off down through the woods. I mean, I could not stop that horse for nothing. I'm holding on for dear life. Man, it's going around trees and whatnot, and I hit a branch, and it knocked me off that horse, and I was laying there on my back. And can I tell you, I never desired to ride that horse again. You know why? That was a giant bigger than me. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that you can stare at a giant long enough. You can stare at a personal problem long enough that you forget your cause. Statement number next. Your cause, think about this. Your cause should always be bigger than your giants. Your cause should always be bigger than your giants. You know, if you have a cause to be able to love people, you have a cause to be able to encourage people, you have a cause to be able to raise godly children, you have a cause to be able to be friends with people, you have a cause to be able to walk beside people, you have a cause to be able to be the person that you ought to be in somebody else's life. Can I tell you that your cause always ought to be bigger than your giants? Here's David's reply in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 26. As he replies, he says this in the latter portion of the verse. He says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He says that he should defy the armies of the living God. Who is he? In other words, who does he think he is? I mean, what in the world is this all about? And so he looked at that giant. And by the way, whether it's the giant of smoking tonight that you've not gotten victory over, whether it's the giant of drinking tonight that you've not gotten the victory over, whether it is the giant tonight of looking at wrong pictures, whether it is the giant tonight of having a dumpy attitude, whether it is the giant tonight of being able not to perform the task that you ought to perform because you know God wants you to, but something has you distracted. No matter what it is tonight, can I tell you this? I can tell you that your cause always ought to be bigger than your giant. You ought to make sure that you put your cause first. And don't let something trip you up. I remember there was two older ladies that gave me advice, and I told this last week when I was preaching in New Orleans and traveling down there preaching to a church, and thoroughly enjoyed it and enjoyed the area and stuff. But I said, boy, the first time I ever got up and preached in a church, it scared me to death. And I gave it my best shot. I thought that, man, it was good. I mean, my sermon lasted about 7 minutes. That's about all I had. And I think the people are pretty happy about that. By the way, my sermon tonight will last longer than 7 minutes. But I remember preaching that. I ran out of steam about the same time I ran out of material. And I was done. Older ladies stopped me at the door as I was on my way out. And I remember their words. I'll remember them till my dying day. But they were an inspiration to me. As they looked at me with those cold eyes, with a stern bottom lip, they looked at me and they said, "Son, don't you worry about it. It can never get any worse than tonight." Can I tell you, that was something that kind of hurt, but it made me study more. It made me be able to try to concentrate more. Well, can I tell you this? May I say tonight that everyone has a cause. Don't let the giants distract you from your cause. Don't stare at the giants so long that you forget your cause. Your cause should always be bigger than your giants. Statement number next, think about this. When you tell others about championing your cause, some will try to discourage you. Oh, I remember the day when I left for Bible college, and Wade Wagner was my best friend. That's the guy that owned the real fast horses, and he is my best friend, and I had the privilege to lead Wade Wagner to Christ. We were running buddies in track and field, and he owned this farm, and I remember one night in his barn, I went over to see Wade, and Wade was raised a Methodist, and we sat in his barn, and as my best friend, I sat there on a hay bale, and I took out my New Testament. I just learned about soul winning not too long ago and how to be able to show somebody their need of Christ. I'd only been saved a couple of months, but I had a burden for my friend. And I remember sitting in the barn on a hay bale, and I looked over at Wade, and I said, "Wade, I want to go to heaven, and I know I'm going to go now, because here's what I've done with Jesus Christ, receiving him as my Savior. But I'll tell you what, Wade, I don't want to go to heaven without you. I want you to go to heaven too." And so the best way that I know how to tell you is the way that somebody showed me, and somebody gave me a New Testament after that, and I'd marked it, and I had a little road map in my New Testament, putting the reference to where to go next, and then reading that verse and putting the reference of where to go next and stuff like that. So I had a little road map in my New Testament and the Romans Road, and I wanted to show Wade how he could know for sure by receiving Jesus Christ and Christ only that he could go to heaven. Well, Wade sat there that night. I was 18 years of age. He was 18 years of age. And he was the very first person that I ever led to Christ. We sat there on that hay bale that night in that big old red barn above the horse stalls. And as I showed Wade how to be saved, boy, he got excited. I got excited. And I told Wade, I said, in my heart, I said, I've already made some decisions. One thing I know is I want to go to a Bible college because I'm way behind. And so I'm just so far behind that I don't know the Bible. And I want to go someplace where I can be able to expedite my understanding of the Scriptures. And I said, I want to go to Bible college. And he said, I got saved too. And I just want to be honest with you. I want to go with you. I said, "Hey, that's great, man. Man, we can go together." I said, "That's fantastic." Oh, a couple of months went by, and I was able to secure tickets during that time period, and got tickets on a Trailway bus, and I said, "Hey, let's meet down at the bus station at this such and such a time," when it came time to go to Bible college. And I got to the bus station, and I waited, but he didn't come. And I just waited, timed the load, and he wasn't there. And boy, I was so disappointed. Because of the fact some things came up and he couldn't make it to the bus station at that time. And we corresponded for a long time back and forth. But I'm so glad, even though I've never seen him again since that time, that one day he and I will be in heaven together. Not because a person would go to church, would they go to heaven? Not because they get baptized, do they go to heaven? Not because they're good, do they go to heaven? Oh, no. Oh, no, friend. It's because they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I remember witnessing to my older brother. My older brother many times would take that track that had the gospel plan in it, and he would tear it up, and he'd throw it in my face. Many times it would be followed by spit. And I remember that. But I also remember the day that Dave bowed his heart, received Jesus Christ as his Savior. I'm saying this, that sometimes when you tell people about the cause you're trying to champion, it might get just a little bit discouraging. I remember when I first started going over to Southeast Asia. We first started going over to Southeast Asia and the Philippines. I've taken many, many, many trips to the Philippines. And I remember going over to the Philippines, and we were able to get into the public schools, and God opened a door for us to be able to do that. And can I tell you, as we went into the public school system, can I tell you, to be able to preach the gospel was a wonderful thing. But I remember coming back and telling people there was 100, 200, 300, 400 people that received Christ as Savior. And, you know, to begin with, you know, people was kind of excited about that. But then we started building teams, and then there was 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 or 10,000 people that received Christ as Savior. And you would think that everybody would be all excited about that, but it wasn't true. You know, many people, when you have a cause and you have something that you want to champion to be able to go forward and serve Jesus Christ, can I tell you, sometimes they'll try and dampen your cause. It might be a relative. You try and rear your children right. You try and rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they don't understand Christianity. They don't understand the God of the Bible. They don't understand Bible principles. They look at you as some square dude. They look at you and think that you're off the wall because you have certain principles in your life that others do not have. May I say this, David had an older brother. You'll see here that Eliab was the eldest brother, the oldest brother. And boy, he scolds David real good in verse 28. And as he scolds him, he talks about him and saying that, you know, he's somebody that has pride, and he's somebody that's got a wrong type of heart and stuff like that, and he shouldn't even be there. But David knew in his heart what he needed to do. And can I tell you, just like you know in your heart, my daddy was a smoker. He smoked pipes most of his life. But then he'd do the cigarette stuff and stuff like that. And he died of cancer, by the way. That's not really a good way to die. And it was because of the smoking that took him. But he smoked those cigarettes, and he had a pipe stand. Boy, when I got saved, I wanted daddy saved so bad. I really did. I put gospel tracts everywhere I went. I didn't want my daddy to die and burn in hell. I didn't want that. And so I'd pass out gospel tracts. I'd put them in the smoker stand so that when daddy opened up the drawer, he'd be able to see God's simple plan of salvation. I wanted daddy to go to heaven one day. I remember putting them in different places because I wanted daddy to be able to understand the scriptures and to be able to receive Christ as Savior. Oh, I remember being able to try to encourage him to do so. But now, you'll have people in your life that would try to discourage you from trying to do what's right by living by the Bible. Lastly, may I say this tonight? I'm saying that everybody has a cause. Everybody has a cause. Everybody has a cause. You know, it ought to be that you put the cause of Christ on you. May I say that you ought not to let giants distract you. Don't let them distract you. Don't let them be able to cause you to stumble. Oh, no. You be able to step across those giants. May I say this tonight? Don't let the giants distract you, and don't stare at the giants so long that you lose focus of your cause. Because you can stare at your problem so much that your problem begins to eat away at you. Man, I tell you for sure, I've visited people in the hospital, and they're not focusing on their problems or not focusing on their diseases. You know what they're focusing on? They're focusing on the fact that they just cannot wait to be able to get out to tell everybody what God has done in their life. So may I say tonight, you ought to decide, as I ought to decide, that your cause is bigger than your giants. Statement number next. When you tell others about championing your cause, they may discourage you. Last statement. Turn away from the discouragement and champion the cause. You know, there was a man in the Bible by the name of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was dying of a very dreadful disease. You know, and you know what he did? Here's what he did. The Bible says that he turned his back to that which was the people, if there would have been somebody in the room, and he faced the wall and he just prayed. You know, when you don't know what to do, God knows what to do. When you don't know where to turn, God knows where you should be turning. Can I say this tonight? Can I say that turn from the discouragement and champion the cause? You ever see somebody, they get into something and boy, they just give it everything they got? My brother, my older brother, knew how to work on mechanics of a motor like no man's business. Man, he could take that motor apart and he could spread it all out all over the driveway and he would know exactly where all, you could mix the parts up. He would know exactly where those parts went and he would put them in the right place. I can't even put a swing set together without instructions. But man, he could put that motor back to place and it would be in good running order and he'd be able to take off in that motor, using that motor. Now, can I tell you? Listen, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying turn away from your distractions and focus on championing your cause. You ever do this? You ever start to read a book and then somebody distracts you? Then you can't remember where you was reading the book. And you come back to start to try and read the book again. You can't figure out where the page was. And it takes you longer to find the page than if you would have completed reading the book. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever done this? Have you ever been in a conversation and all of a sudden you leave the person sitting there and then you take off? I remember Carl Hatch was visiting with me one time in Union City and one of our boys got a cut. And I said, oh, Dr. Hatch, he's in my office. I said, oh, Dr. Hatch, I'm sorry. I've always put family first and so I'll be back. This is a nationally known speaker. I said, I'll be back. And I went over to attend to one of the boys that had a cut and I forgot that Carl Hatch was sitting in my office. I came back after a long, because I told him to sit there and he did. He just sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there. And finally, I came back and he said, I thought you died. And I said, no, it's worse than that. I thought you existed. I forgot you existed, I said. I'm sorry. And he said, well, that's all right. He said, that's good. All right. Now, can I say this? What happened to me is I got turned aside, if you will, please, by something else that got my attention, and I forgot to champion the cause. You know, we have a couple of grandsons, and it used to be Andrew would come to my office when he's a little bit younger. Now he's starting to pick up words that make sense. Some. But he would come to my office and he would come up and, granddaddy, he'd come over. He wanted me to hold him. And he would come to my office and normally between the time of me getting here and going into an adult Sunday school class to teach, and he would come over and he'd climb up on my legs, on my knees, and I'd pray with him, and then he would take off. But after a while, he wasn't interested in my knees. He wasn't interested in me praying with him. There was something sitting on my desk that got his attention. I have some bronze horses on my desk. I've always loved horses. I personally would never buy another horse because they'll eat you out of house and home. And so, but I've got these horses on my desk. I don't have to feed them. They stand still. Never have to worry about them getting away. I will never ride them. They're just there. And all of a sudden, Andrew woke up and he saw those horses. He didn't come to me to sit on my knee. He would come into the office, look at the horses, and say, hi. Those horses aren't going to say a word. He'd say, hi. I say, hey, Andrew, how you doing? He'd wave at me. Bye, and take off. So the only thing he ever came into my office was to say hi to the horses and bye to Grandpa. What happened? Distraction. Distraction. It's a little boy one day, and he picked the ball up, and he threw it up in the air, took the bat, watched it come down, swung the bat, missed. Picked the ball up again, threw it even higher so that he could see it coming down. Picked the bat up, missed. He said, man, I'm going to do it again. Took the ball, threw it up higher. Took the bat, swung it, missed. Somebody came over and said, boy, that's a poor hitter. He said, yeah, but did you see that picture? That pitcher, he knew how to pitch that ball. You'll get that by and by. I'm saying this tonight. Turn from your discouragement and champion your cause. Let God work in your life. You know, whoever said that life is full of roses maybe has failed to tell you that all roses have thorns. Yeah. You know, I've often thought, you know, I'm not just the pastor of Parkside Baptist Church. I'm the pastor of a lot of different people. I'll walk in a gas station, I'll pass them the track, and they'll say, hey, thank you, Pastor. I'll go up and try and pay for a cup of coffee. They say, oh, no, we're not going to charge, Pastor. You know, and it is so neat to be able to love and help and encourage people. Amen. Let's stay with the cause that God has certainly given us. Father, bless, we do pray. Thank you so much for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.